Bitcoin has certainly been marketed by the media as this cryptocurrency, which is anonymous, and it's not really. It's important that when spending it, one takes certain precautions in order to be able to remain private.
Says, I'm here with Craig of Sparrow Wallet. How are you doing, sir?
Great to be here. Very good.
Yes, I'm really happy to meet you. I had an interview with Samurai of Samurai Wallet, and I come to learn that you are doing things right for Bitcoin, BTC, that you are also doing things the right way when it comes to CoinJoin using Whirlpool. Is that correct?
Yes, Sparrow Wallet contains a Whirlpool client, which basically allows you to use CoinJoin very much in the same way that you can do on Samurai Wallet. So, I'm very glad to hear that people are starting to understand how to do that, and the usage of that kind of privacy technology is beginning to spread.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we must have in Bitcoin, and it's so assuring. I thought, honestly, that Samurai was the only one doing it correctly. Yesterday, I found out about you. How long have you guys been around?
So, Sparrow Wallet is really me. You know, that's my kind of my personal contribution to the space. We launched back in 1st of September 2020, so a little over 2.5 years at this point. It's been sort of a gradual build up to the place that we are now. So happy to be able to contribute and really give something back into the Bitcoin space, allow people to secure their funds in a safe way and allow them to be able to spend in a private way.
Right now, we're seeing a lot of contention within BTC that no one's really talking about. And it has to do with the fact that people are saying that Bitcoin BTC is private by default, which is false. They're saying that BTC is private by default because it has more liquidity than, say, Monero. That is false. And it seems like only very few people are actually working with Bitcoin in order to make it fungible. And you're one of them. What led you to be part of this endeavor within BTC?
Look, I think the first thing I need to say is Bitcoin is not fungible. It's not built into the protocol layer, and we can't really change that on the application layer. What we can do is allow you to take your own coin history, and through using a tool like Whirlpool, you can then effectively, you know, join a pool where your coin history is shared with a number of other users, you know, hopefully many users that have also used the Whirlpool service. So we're not really taking the fungibility, you know, we're not really adding fungibility so much as we are effectively making it very, you know, so you're part of a very large anonymity set. So that's kind of, you know, I think an important thing to understand, and how, you know, Bitcoin has certainly been, marketed by the media as this sort of cryptocurrency, which is anonymous, and it's not really. It's important that when spending it, one takes certain precautions in order to be able to remain private.
The beautiful thing about Sparrow and Samurai is that it allows you to do the spending in a safe way. How easy is it to use Sparrow for the layman? Let's say, does the CoinJoin, the Whirlpool, happen automatically?
So basically, it should be pretty easy to use. You should be able to just select the UTXOs that you want to send into the Whirlpool service, and then really just a few clicks away, without needing to really select too much, you can create what we call the premix transaction, which is just sort of a setup transaction that prepares that particular UTXO and breaks it up. And then the Whirlpool service just runs automatically so long as your wallet remains open. It just goes into Whirlpool, and then every single time a particular mix cycle becomes available, those UTXOs just get automatically mixed. So you can just get remixed over time, and your anonymity set grows over time.
Sparrow operates as a wallet for your computer, correct? So you're almost like a counterpart to Samurai.
Correct.
Because Samurai is on your phone.
Correct. So, you know, we sort of offer that desktop component to it, which has, certainly just a different way. Some people would prefer to use their phone. Some people would prefer to use their laptop. It just depends on whoever, you know, what kind of approach you want to take. You know, I personally prefer when I'm looking at, you know, my sort of cold storage, I kind of want to be using the most capable device that I own. That's kind of the way that I approach it. But somebody else might be more focused on being able to spend, and then the Samurai wallet approach on your phone. Obviously, if you can take that out and then spend in a store, then that's also a good approach. So you can use both of them. There's no issue with that. You can actually mix the same wallet on both so long as you take certain precautions. You just got options, and that's really what we're trying to create.
Do you find other wallets in the space motivated in adopting Whirlpool and doing things right like Sparrow and Samurai does?
I think in the past, you know, the reality is no, it hasn't been. I'm starting to see that beginning to change. And I think that's really the result of consumer demand. I think, you know, people are starting to realize and wake up to what you were saying earlier around the fact that, you know, Bitcoin has not got this kind of ability to be private by default. And with that realization, people are starting to realize we need these kind of coin join tools like Whirlpool, and they're starting to demand that their wallets have it. So in conversations that I've had just in the last week, I'm aware of several wallets that are looking to build this kind of functionality in, and I think we're going to see more of it in future.
So I understand Samurai being able to obfuscate transactions before Bitcoin is sent to an exchange by creating more hops before the transaction gets to the exchange. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you guys offer that as well?
No. So that service is called Ricochet. And that's not something that Sparrow has at this point. It's one of the few areas of Samurai wallet that we have not built in yet. But it's certainly an interesting one, and one that I'll be taking a look at in the future.
So there's also a problem with blockchain analytics in that they don't not only follow you into the past, but they also follow you into the future. Paxos Exchange has been known to blacklist the accounts of their users by tracking where the Bitcoin purchased at the exchange is sent. And it so happened that one of their clients sent the Bitcoin to Wasabi Wallet, and because Wasabi was, you know, has been doing CoinJoin, that person's account was blacklisted, and they made that client go through hell. So knowing that this happens, that blockchain analytics also follows people into the future, do you, as Sparrow, does Sparrow and Samurai have any way to mitigate that risk?
Look, I think the first thing I want to say on that is, you know, ultimately, these companies are dependent on the customers that they need to acquire. Without the customers, they will not survive. And people need to use that power to demand that their privacy is not put at risk, that they can use the services that legitimately are just seeking a basic human right, which is to remain private. I think that that's the most important thing. So, you know, what we can't do is change the fact that on the protocol layer, we don't have this privacy by default. But what we can do is provide the tools and hopefully inspire people to use them and to stand up to illegitimate, in my view, censoring of those people who are using the tools. And that's the kind of important message that I want to get across is really, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to use the tools. The number of times that people have actually been blacklisted or censored for using those tools is very few. And truly, you know, one can always do what one wants to do. It's just one service. It's always another service somewhere else in the world. So you'll never get into a situation where your coins are unspendable or unusable as a result of using these tools. You may have some inconvenience, but you should really, you know, take to social media and call these things out, because they are very real consequences for the services that do perform that kind of, you know, UTXO-related censorship.
Is Sparrow looking towards adopting atomic swaps with Monero?
Not yet. Sparrow is certainly, will certainly be looking at all of those kind of technologies as they're coming out. I'm very interested in seeing the way that it goes. I think it's certainly exciting to see what's happening in that sort of space. But I'm kind of tend to be slightly later on the adoption curve on some of these very kind of new things. I like to develop just really a great user interface around it once the sort of initial technology has been pioneered. So that's kind of the way that I approach it. I'm looking forward to seeing how useful it is and what kind of take up it gets.
What's in the future for Sparrow?
Right now, the future for Sparrow is really just being able to, build on what we have, right? I'm kind of looking around, seeing what kind of interesting technologies are coming out, how we can make users' funds more secure and more private in future. I've got no particular major features that I'm trying to add at this time, but I am certainly looking at, minor iterations and incremental improvements that can make the user experience better, that can make things clearer, and can kind of improve on the experience that we already have.
So I missed your talk because I've been interviewing people here. What were the biggest takeaways on your talk today?
I think mainly I was focused in my talk today around how people can achieve financial sovereignty. So, there's a number of different ways to do that. But the point that I was trying to get at is that when you're trying to save in fiat, you can't really save. You can try and invest your money in a stock exchange, but effectively you are gambling with your funds because you don't really know too much about the companies that you're investing in. So with Bitcoin, if you're going to invest in Bitcoin, you have a low time preference, peace of mind, but you also need to take a lot more cognizance of your self-custody, which you don't really have in the fiat world. So my talk was really around how people can achieve that kind of self-custody of funds by using tools like multisig, considering where they're going to store their seeds, what kind of hardware wallet devices they're going to use, and really just, how you can skill up, how you can use services like Testnet to test all of these different things out before you actually commit real funds to it.
So are you saying for the average user to use a testnet beforehand? Is that what I hear? Did I hear you right?
I think that testnet is woefully underused. I think it is much easier to use than people think. With Sparrow, you can start Sparrow in testnet mode fairly easily. There's a server, public server you can connect to. You don't have to have your own testnet server. And you can just start trying, get some Bitcoin from a testnet faucet. Just do a search online, Bitcoin testnet faucet. Get some coins. They won't have any value. You can set up a multi-sig wallet, transfer funds in, transfer funds out. Get a feeling for it before you commit real funds to it. It's really a lot easier than a lot of the media and a lot of, some Bitcoin commentators have made it up to me. It was difficult in the past. It's, I think, no longer so. There's a number of different wallets. Sparrow is only one of them that I think makes it relatively easy to use multisig. And the great advantage is that you don't need to have all of your security, all of your risk in one location. You can move it across different locations, and that really reduces the chances of attack and improves your peace of mind, especially when you're storing your life savings in that.
Correct. So right now, Sparrow really focuses and really offers multi-sig options. Is that correct?
That's correct. So you can use a single sig hot wallet. You can use a single sig hardware wallet, but you can also use a multi-sig of any kind of type that you want. You can do a 2 of 3. You can do a 3 of 5. You can use any kind of hardware wallets that you want to that are available on the market to make that up. You can do a mix of hardware and software wallets. Really, you can set up your multi-sig solution to be whatever that you want it to be.
So is Sparrow compatible with hardware wallets?
Absolutely. So we support all of the USB hardware wallets, the AirGap hardware wallets. You can use SD cards. You can use QR codes, whatever you like. Having maximum flexibility across different hardware wallets and supporting as many we can is something that it's always been very key to the sort of work.
That's amazing. And so, if you don't mind me asking this, in terms of the monetization strategy for a company like Sparrow, like how do you guys monetize being a wallet? I'm curious to ask that question.
So first of all, you know, the Bitcoin community is great. Many donations. I've had grants from the HRF for the kind of privacy related work. And there's also the Whirlpool service, part of those fees as well. So there's a number of different ways.
Okay, right on. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So where can people learn more about Sparrow?
They can basically go to sparrowwallet.com. So that's the easiest way. There's documentation on that site. You can also follow the Twitter handle of @SparrowWallet. Personally, my Twitter handle is @CraigRaw. That's C-R-A-I-G-R-A-W. And, you know, there's lots of information out there. People like Econo Alchemist have written some great guides. If you go to the Cold Card site, you own a Cold Card, you'll see that all of Cold Card's documentation, a lot of it uses Sparrow Wallet as well. So really, there's no shortage of ways to figure out how to use it.
Awesome. Craig, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it. And I'm really happy that you're doing what you're doing, because the BTC space really needs this. And the fact that you're leading by example is something that we value a lot. Unfortunately, what happened with Wasabi was a bummer. It has been a bummer to all of us. And I thought that only Samurai was the only one left doing things right. Is there anything you would want to say about the Wasabi incident?
I think it's very unfortunate that we have Bitcoin companies that are supposed to be privacy first, that are, you know, performing this kind of interaction with blockchain analysis companies. I think, you know, if you look at the reaction of the Bitcoin community as a whole, I think it's healthy that we are seeing people rejecting that kind of approach. So, yeah, I think that that's sad. And I also just want to say some Samurai wallets and Whirlpool and Sparrow are not the only approaches. There's Join Market as well. And, you know, it would just be really great if we could see people use, you know, the kind of ethical coin join services that we have out there. You know, that's kind of what we want to see. I would love to see more wallets interact with Whirlpool as well. That's what I'm hoping to sort of see. I'll kind of want privacy services to grow, because the more people we have using them, the more legitimate they seem to the rest of the world. And that's really important for us all.
Is there like, do you and Samurai, is there something, anything that you guys do to really nudge other wallets? Are you guys on them? Do you guys harass them? Like, come on, guys, get with it.
I think that, you know, to be honest, the Bitcoin community as a whole has really started to realize how important these services are. So it's not so much that we have to go and do it. You know, we're certainly always available and there to sort of help. Working with some Samurai guys from my side has been great. I would encourage other wallet devs to have a chat to them. You know, it's really not that hard. And I think, you know, personally, I've seen Sparrow usage really go up since Whirlpool was put in. So
really, because I've been wanting to ask you that. Is going up?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I could see a step change in terms of the number of users using Sparrow once that service is put in. It's just very clear that the Bitcoin community needs these kind of services, that they're waking up to the fact that we don't have privacy by default on the protocol layer. We need it on the application layer, and that means it needs to be built into the wallets that we use.
Right on. Does Sparrow do anything with the Lightning Network?
It does not at this point. I'm certainly looking at the Lightning Network. I think that there are very interesting opportunities there. I think it's a very interesting place, but I also think there are a lot of challenges and things that need to be solved. So
yeah, a lot of challenges. I see a lot of challenges there. Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with privacy.
Absolutely. So privacy when you're sending is actually very good, but privacy to receive is really not good at all. I think there's a number of different techniques which are being built out right now. I'm keeping, you know, close tabs on those. And also I'm really watching, you know, does Lightning become a centralized network, or can we keep it in a decentralized fashion? You know, that's, I think, a very important development that we're really seeing play out in real time. And I think, you know, it's really up to people to continue to run Lightning nodes in order for it not to become just a few corporate players who
exactly
kind of control everything.
So where do you keep up with the Lightning development in the area of privacy?
I try to, you know, read the dev posts, try to keep up to date with the various announcements. I talk to people who are working in that space. So, yeah, I just try and, you know, stay close to it by, you know, interacting as much as possible with the material and the people that are on it.
How peer reviewed is Whirlpool?
Whirlpool, you know, there's quite a few people who have worked in it. I've certainly, you know, read through the code in detail, obviously worked with it a lot. I think the reality is, you know, if we've had, you know, the nice thing about Whirlpool is all the evidence is on the blockchain, right? So we have guys like the guys working at OXT, you know, able to sort of analyze the blockchain and really tell us what's going on there. And there's plenty of external researchers who have looked at that information as well, done their own independent kind of research on it. So, you know, it's not really so much about what is the Whirlpool implementation, but what is the outcome on chain? You know, what happens to those UTXOs and how much entropy do they get and how much are the deterministic links broken? And I think we've seen, you know, Whirlpool's been out for many, many years, at least many years now at this point, and we've seen a lot of very good evidence to suggest that it is providing the privacy that it is offering, that is being offered.
Awesome, guys. Well, you guys heard it here. SparrowWallet.com. SparrowWallet.com. Thank you so much, Craig, for being with us. I really appreciate your time and everything that you're doing for the space, because we really need this.
You're welcome. It's been great to chat, and yeah, hope to chat again soon.
Yeah, I know. What you're doing is incredible. I can't thank you enough.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
A recent bloodbath has shaken the cryptocurrency market to its core. When the stablecoin Luna collapsed, the entire industry felt the ripples, and longtime and new investors alike started hammering down on the panic button, but not clients of the crypto vigilante. 2 months before the apocalyptic event, famed crypto asset analyst Mr. Z predicted this exact scenario and told their vigilantes exactly what to do about it. Mr. Z explained that if confidence in the asset was ever tested, it would trigger a death spiral loop that would cause Luna to implode. He also warned their vigilante readers not to use UST as a reliable store of value and what to do instead. Discover their predictions and how the crypto vigilante keeps their readers safe while making them wealthier every step of the way. Because these shockwaves haven't finished yet, but the real cryptocurrency bull market is right around the corner, and you want to be ready. Read more at cryptovigilante.io.